We're going to continue our study through the Bible. We're down to the book of Esther, and we're going to take a look at that book tonight. As we begin to look at the book of Esther, I certainly think that the major theme that we're going to see as we begin to think about Esther, I hope that you've taken the time to read the book and have some idea as to what goes on within the book. And the thing that I want us to really hone in on is the idea of fully relying on God. Because that's really what we see when we look at the little book of Esther. I'm going to use an acronym. It's going to be FROG tonight. And really what that stands for is fully relying on God. So when you see that little acronym, that's what that means. You know, I guess maybe we need to ask a question. And that is, why don't we all fully rely on God? You know, as we read through the Bible, as we read through those things that are taught within the pages of God's Word, it certainly seems to me like we ought to come to the point that it's futile, that it's really ridiculous to think that we're going to get through this life without relying on God. I don't have all the answers to my questions. I don't have all the solutions to problems that I face. I don't understand everything that needs to be understood. So what that says is, I must learn to fully rely on God. You know, otherwise, if we all did that, we'd all stand out, wouldn't we? But you know, as you go through the Bible, just begin to think of the characters that you can think of that really put their dependence and their reliance on God. I think of Noah. I think of Abraham. I think of David. I think of others throughout the Bible. But really, when you begin to look at those individuals and you compare them to all the other people that are mentioned in the Bible, they're relatively few, aren't they? They're relatively few. So I'll tell you what, when I began to think about this idea of fully relying on God, I'm in a large number of people when I really don't. If we relied on God, we'd never fret about our needs. If we fully came to the point where we relied on God, I would not worry about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I would not worry about the clothes that I'm going to put on tomorrow. I would not worry about so many of the things that we worry about, because, you know, I could turn to Matthew chapter 6 and I could read where Jesus tells me not to worry about any of those things, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things would be supplied for me. Fully relying on God. If we fully relied on God, we'd always say no to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that there's always a way of escape. That there is no temptation to overtake me, but such as is common to man, and that God has provided a way of escape. And I'd rely on God. And when I saw that way of escape, I'd simply take it. You don't know if Sam was reading my mind tonight, but he read a passage that really I think that we all need to look at. You know, in Romans chapter 3, what Paul was doing was he was just simply placing all the Jews in the same little rowboat that the Gentiles were in. That they were all sinners. They had all turned from God. There wasn't a one amongst them that was righteous, because they did not put their reliance in God. Because of that, Israel goes away, Judah goes away, and we find that the Jewish religion as a whole falls. And then he concludes that all up in Romans chapter 3 and at verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see the problem? The problem is we just do not fully rely on God. But I want to suggest to you that as we begin to look at this little book of Esther, that's one of the lessons that we learn. Well, what happens when you fully rely on God? Well, I want to suggest to you that that's really what the little book of Esther teaches. For those of us who believe in God, a little verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You know, we need to realize that God is always with us. He will never desert us. And I want to suggest to you that as we study through the little book of Esther, we see a man who exemplifies and exhorted how to rely on God, Mordecai. Mordecai was a man that just simply relied on God. He knew, he was convinced, he was dedicated to the fact that God would take care of the Jewish people, no matter what. We see a young woman by the name of Esther who makes an unbelievable request. And then ultimately, we see God's sovereignty and providential care for those who rely on Him. Brethren, this little book of Esther is so important. The little book of Esther is the only book of the Bible where the word God is never used. But He permeates every page. His work and what He does is seen so clearly as we begin to look at this book. And let me give you one more, I think, real important lesson that we need to learn out of the little book of Esther. It's not who we are. It's who God is. You know, when you look at the major characters of this story, You see Mordecai. Mordecai is no one of importance. He's just another Jew. As a matter of fact, he is just another Jew that is living in captivity during the Babylonian captivity of Judah. He was just a Jew. He was not in a place of authority. He was not a priest. He wasn't a scribe. He had no high position in the Jewish hierarchy or in the Babylonian government or anywhere. He was just we might refer to him as just a common, ordinary man. That's all he was. Yet his reliance on God manifests his faithfulness in God. Now, Get a hold of that. There's a lesson that we need to get. The thing that makes Mordecai stand out in this book is not Mordecai. What causes him to stand out in this book is his faithful reliance upon God. Mordecai puts his trust in God. I couldn't help but think as I was reading through this little book and trying to prepare the thoughts for this lesson and get this outline together, maybe there's one of our biggest problems. And that is, you know, we keep thinking that we're nobodies. We're not rulers in the community. We don't occupy a place in government of any great substance. We might think of ourselves, and I've heard people say this, I've even said it. Why, I'm just such a small member of the community. What can I do? And you know what the answer to that is? Not much. Not much. But I'll tell you what. When we put our reliance in God, and we're not thinking about our own strength and our own ability and what I can do and where I can go and what I can accomplish, but we're thinking about the Lord, we're thinking about relying on Him and understanding that through Him there are so many things that can be accomplished, then all of a sudden we have strength. Paul wanted the thorn in the flesh removed. But the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove that. You're going to learn the lesson of strength. It's not your strength, but it's the strength you have in me. Brethren, when we go to the little book of Esther, we see that his reliance is what allows us to see by faith God at work. Although God's name is never used, it's behind the scene. By faith, we see God at work. Doesn't that kind of bring Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 into focus for us? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the hope of things eternal. We have faith in God. And because we have faith in God, we can be the people that God would have us be. Well, let's turn to the little book of Esther for just a moment. I want to suggest to you that one of the things that we see in the little book of Esther is listening to wise counsel. Now, let's remember that Esther was the daughter of a relative of Mordecai. They basically were cousins. But Esther's parents died, and what we read in the little book of Esther is that Mordecai takes Esther and he raises her as his own daughter. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father, no mother. Now the young lady was beautiful, of form and face. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Mordecai takes her to raise her as his own daughter. Again in verse 10. Esther did not make known her people or her kindred, for Mordecai had instructed her that she should not make them known. Now, we talked a little bit this morning, didn't we, about the idea of being peacemakers in our homes. I want to suggest something to you. Esther exemplifies that, doesn't she? Mordecai took her and raised her. Mordecai instructed her in things that she was to do and not to do. And what we find out is that Esther was one who listened. Esther was one who was willing to listen to what Mordecai said. He taught, she learned to listen to wise counsel. And this is exhibited throughout the rest of chapter 2. Verse 15. And when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the women, advised. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. She not only listened to Mordecai, but this fellow that was in charge of all the ladies that was going to appear before the king, she listened to him. She took his advice. She asked for nothing more than what he would have advised her or did advise her to ask for. Verse 20. Esther had not yet made known her kindred or her people, even as Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther did what Mordecai told her, as she had done when under his care. Get the point. This wasn't something new for Esther. Listening to Mordecai's commandments, listening to what Mordecai told her, and doing what Mordecai said do. This was something she'd been doing while she was under his care. Mordecai raised her as his daughter. This speaks well, I think, of both of them, both Mordecai and Esther. But there's also a valuable attitude that we need to learn that is vital in our learning to rely upon God. God is our Father. God instructs us through the pages of His Word. And just like Esther listened to Mordecai and did what Mordecai said do, basically relying upon his word, we need to learn to rely upon God. There used to be a show on some years ago, I can remember it. Maybe, well, most of us in the audience, I think, probably tonight can remember the old show, Father Knows Best. And isn't that true when it comes to God? God knows best. And what we need to do is we just simply need to make ourselves reliant upon God's word. Listening to his word. Learning from youth. Learning from a young age. That what we need to do is we need to do what God wants us to do. Now this sets the stage. This sets the stage for the lesson of fully relying on God in the book of Esther. We find that Mordecai was concerned for the king. In chapter 2 and beginning in verse 21, it says, in those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan, and Teresh, two of the king's officials, from those who guarded the door, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. But the plot became known to Mordecai. And Mordecai told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Now when the plot was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on gallows. And it was written in the book of Chronicles in the king's presence. You know, I want to suggest to you that no doubt, if this plot of assassination of the king had been carried out, it would have affected Esther's life. So Mordecai finds out about this plot of these two men to kill the king. And what he does is he goes to Esther and he makes known. But more importantly than that, God wills that his people does good for all men. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're to do good unto all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Even as we read this morning, as Paul wrote to Timothy, we are to spend time in prayer for those who are in government, for kings, for rulers. We're to be concerned about them. We are to be concerned and we are to care about what is good for them. But let's understand something. That Mordecai's ultimate concern and ultimate allegiance was to the King of Kings, was to the God of heaven. This becomes very, very plain. When you drop down to chapter 3, it says, after these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hamathiah, the Agite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai never bowed down nor paid homage. Remind you of any other story in the Bible? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar constructed his great image and said, at the sound of all the musical instruments, you were to bow down and to worship. And they refused to do that. Here's Mordecai. Everybody was bowing down and they were paying homage to Haman. Verse 3. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's commands? Why are you not doing what you ought to do? And Mordecai's allegiance is tested. Now it was when they had spoken daily to him and he would not listen to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reasons would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. I'm a Jew. I'm a believer in God. I worship God and him only do I serve. And Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman. Well, the stage is set. Here's Mordecai. And boy, he has come into direct opposition to Haman, a man of great ego, who was wanting to really be seen and observed by the king. And here's this Jew, and he won't bow down to me. Well, here comes the ultimate test. What are you going to do? What would you do? Would we fully rely on God? I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't you? The king says, basically, I'll give you another chance. The next time when you hear all the music, if you'll bow down and you'll worship my image, I'll not throw you into the fiery furnace. You remember their answer? Oh, king, we don't need time to think about this. We will not bow down and worship your image. Nebuchadnezzar became furious and commanded the furnace to be fired up hotter than ever before, and he cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. I love what they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Whether we die or not, we know in whom we believe. Do we have that kind of reliance on God? Haman's hatred extended to all the Jews. What Haman does is he goes to the king and he has a proclamation made that not just Mordecai, but all the Jews were to be exterminated. There was to be a genocide of all of those who were Jews within the provinces. Chapter 4 and verse 1. But when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out in the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. He went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In each and every province where the command and decree of the king had come, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Wow. What's going to happen to the Jews? Mordecai takes things into his own hands. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. He goes to the king's gate and he's there in sackcloth and ashes before the king. Drop down to verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hacketh and ordered him to relay to Mordecai, all the king's servants and people of the king's province know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law. That is, be put to death unless the king holds to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Mordecai tells Esther, Esther, it's time to go to the king. Esther said, wait a minute. You don't just go to see King Ahasuerus. He has to ask for you. If you take it on your own and you go into his presence and he does not offer his scepter to you, the penalty is death. And Esther knew that. And Esther tells Mordecai, I've not been summoned to go to the king. They related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Hey, Esther, you're a Jew. Haman has made a decree that all the Jews are to be exterminated. Do you really think you'll be safe even though you're in the king's palace? This is going to filter its way down to you. Just as surely to anybody else. Verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. I want you to look at Mordecai. Esther, whether you go before the king or not, God's people, the Jews, are going to survive. Remember the promises that God made to Abraham? That of the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Mordecai still had this in his mind. Mordecai still understood that there was a purpose for God's people, for the Jews. And Mordecai had the faith to say, okay, Esther, deliverance is going to come. The Jews are not going to be destroyed. Either you stand up or you don't. But the Jews will be delivered. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Boy, Mordecai puts it to Esther, doesn't he? So you don't go. And your house perishes. But who's to say that you have not been put in this place and time for this very purpose? You can save God's people. You can reverse this decree. But what it's going to take, and it's not said here, but what it's going to take is for you to fully rely upon God and do what needs to be done. We know the rest of the story, don't we? Esther goes before King Mordecai, Ahasuerus. He offers his scepter to her. Haman's plot is found out. Haman himself is ultimately killed because of the plot that he had made against the Jews. And everything turns out well. The rest of the story is that simply Esther listens to her wise cousin and commits herself to rely on God. She has all the Jews fasting. They're praying for 3 days. She fasted. Then she will face a place, it should be place instead of face, her own life, or face her own life and death. If I perish, I perish. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not sure they'd come out of that fiery furnace. But they knew who they believed no matter what. Of course, they did, didn't they? Esther just simply said, if I perish, I perish. But what if Esther perished? And she was faithful to God. would she be the loser or the winner? God saves Esther, Mordecai, and all the Jews from the genocide. And Haman is ultimately killed. Do you fully rely on God? Let me make an application or two. It's easy to preach our need to fully rely on God. We can open up the Bible and we can show passage after passage after passage where God has protected his own people. And we can preach some good lessons from that, can't we? It's easy to agree to our need to fully rely on God. We're really weak creatures. There are so many creatures in nature that are so much stronger than we are. You know, I think of the grizzly bear. Man just doesn't stand much of a chance against a grizzly bear, does he? Or a lion or a tiger. Just in Colorado, I think it was yesterday, there was a bicycler killed and one severely injured by a mountain lion. They're stronger. They're more powerful than we are. It's easy to preach that we need to fully rely on God. The question is, when faced with your personal struggles that seem so difficult, how have you fared? How have I fared? And that's a legitimate question, isn't it? You know, Esther even thought about it. She says, you know what, Mordecai? If I go before King Ahasuerus and he does not offer his scepter to me, I'll die. She was afraid of that. But then she put her reliance on God. And she did what God said do. When you fall into various trials, for those who acknowledge to be lacking, as so many of us are, there's some things we need to consider. Asking others, especially those who you value as to be faithful in serving God, to pray for you. It's exactly what Esther did, wasn't it? Esther said, I want people to fast and pray for me. And as a matter of fact, Esther herself fasted and prayed before she went before the king. Brethren, do we take advantage of prayer? Prayer should be a part of our everyday. Prayer should be that which we look forward to and long to go before the throne of God and make our requests and our petitions made known to God. Pray, pray, pray. Fervently. We studied this morning Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Why did Jesus go 40 days without food? He was fasting. He knew who had led him off into the wilderness. It was Satan. He knew why Satan was leading him off into the wilderness. Jesus was going to be tempted. Ever there was a time when Jesus was going to have to fully rely upon God the Father, it was during those temptations. How often do you fast and pray? I brought it up to the fellows this morning in our class. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus doesn't command us to fast there. Do you know what he says? He says, when you fast. What's the implication of that? He not only says it once, but he says it twice. When you fast. You ever had a time in your life when what you needed more than anything else was time alone between you and your God? When you could pour your heart out to Him, where you could rely upon His Word, be strengthened by His Word, because you were going to have to fully rely upon Him in your life. Make a commitment to what needs to be done, no matter what it is. I oftentimes tell people, I like to talk to young people. Young people, you're going to be tempted to sin. You're going to find yourself where there are drugs and your peers are engaged in it. You're going to find times when there's going to be immorality that is going to be knocking at your door. You have to make up your mind now what you're going to do. For those of us that are older, that's also true. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And what we've got to do is we have to have our mind made up before the attack ever begins as to what we're going to do and how we're going to stand. And then lastly, remember, God is sovereign. God wants us to know our need to rely upon Him. God wants us to know that He's there. God wants us to know that He's ready to help us. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other. Nor will he be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he says, O you of little faith. Do we have our minds made up? He wants us to learn to rely on Him. He wants us to experience His salvation and the fact that we can glory in that salvation, realizing that God will save us if we but fully rely on God. Hope you remember the little acronym FROG. As we go through our week, as we go through the difficulties of life, let's remember that that's what we must do.